Hey guys, welcome to the mailbag edition of the WWE podcast. You'll notice there's no intro to this show. It's just a very straightforward, I'm answering your voicemail show. So that's what this is for. Again, if you'd like to get on the show and you want me to answer your question or just have you rant, you have 3 minutes to do so. That is the absolute cutoff from any voicemail. But here's the number, 518-952-0247. We also have an email at realwwepodcast@gmail.com if you'd prefer to email the show. So that's how you do it, but we've got a lot of voicemails to get to tonight. So let's start it off with the very first one.
Hi, Matt. This is Solomon from Denver, and I'm calling to ask, who do you think will take the Universal Championship from Roman Reigns? I think maybe Big E would be a good person after they bailed him up. Maybe he just wins the Rumble, or maybe Drew McIntyre can win the Rumble and switch brands and challenge Roman Reigns. I don't think The Rock will take it if he comes back. But yeah, thanks. I love the show. Bye.
Hey, Solomon. Good to hear from you. So good question. And it's one that I've been pondering too. However, I'm also not even thinking about him dropping the belt in the next 6 months. I hope it's a crazy long reign because he's doing so damn good. But as far as who could eventually do it, you're right. Big E has an opportunity. Even if they build him, I still think he's probably not the one to do it. I do believe it is. As you said, you're kind of taking my answers. I don't mean to be just kind of a copycat on this, but really Drew McIntyre seems to be the most likely candidate to take the belt from Roman because I think he could win the Rumble and choose which champion he wants to face, because WWE is never consistent. They're never consistent about are you only allowed to challenge for championships on your brand, or can you do it anywhere? And I think they'll do the latter, and Roman Reigns will be challenged by Drew McIntyre at the Royal Rumble. Drew could win the Rumble this year, or excuse me, next year, really, in a couple of months. I think that's the road they go. As you said, The Rock is not going, even if he comes back, he is not going to be the one to take the belt off of Roman. It's a one-off match. It's a really attraction match, and The Rock should lose if he even comes back. I don't think he will, because I don't think we're even close to coming back. And well, fans aren't even close to coming back with COVID spiking through the roof again, record hospitalization rates. It's actually looking less and less likely until we get that damn vaccine in mass and people trusted enough to take it, and we all get and move on with our lives finally with this whole thing. So again, and The Rock's character is so built around crowd interaction that I don't think it would behoove him, nor would he be as interested if he was in an empty arena, even with a bunch of fans, screens around him in the Thunderdome or whatever, that he would be as interested if fans were actually live. So I don't think The Rock's actually going to come back because of that. And even if he does, it's to lose to Roman Reigns to continue to build the character. But if you are going to choose, short answer, Drew McIntyre wins the Rumble and challenges Roman Reigns for the championship at WrestleMania. Okay, great question. On to the next one.
Hi, it's Kyle from Baltimore, Maryland. I wanted to talk about, you know, Survivor Series. I know it's a pay-per-view that people don't care much about because it's like a who cares pay-per-view, because there's no titles in the line. It's just, you know, brand versus brand, Raw versus SmackDown. I guess I don't really care much about it. The matches themselves would be great, and that's what I'm looking forward to the most. So yeah, it's a pay-per-view who cares about, no one really cares about, but I personally like it and I'm looking forward to it. So, but I get people don't like it. I get it, but I personally do. But that was just it. What do you think about that, though, overall? But bye.
Hey, Kyle. Good to hear from you. Always good to hear from you. You're very much appreciated on the show. So let me just first off say, if you are excited for Survivor Series, more power to you. Like, I am not here to try to make you less excited about a pay-per-view that you're excited about from a wrestling standpoint. Certainly, if you are looking forward to it, that's awesome. You know, like that's what you're here for. Like, everybody has a different taste in wrestling and what they like and don't like. If it weren't for the Raw versus SmackDown theme, I would enjoy the pay-per-view a lot more. I think most of us would too, but you're right. Here's what we should probably focus on if we're looking at the silver lining. the actual quality of matches. And this is something that goes against everything in my fiber of my being, because I am all about stories and depth of character well before I'm before I am interested in the athleticism and how good is the match going to be. To me, it's, again, I've said this on almost every show, that I am way infinitely more interested in why are these two people, why are these two women, why are these two men fighting? What's the backstory? What are these characters like? What do they represent? What do they stand for? What are they after? Right? Can we answer the basics? And oftentimes WWE does not, and they use the athleticism as a crutch or a mask for their lack of ability to tell a story. So in this case, you're right. I am going to have to just discard that for a pay-per-view and look at the wrestling quality overall, because there really is no story here, because there is no reason for these two brands to be fighting at all anyway. So I I'm glad you're excited. I hope you enjoy the pay-per-view, but you know, you made me more interested by just looking at the wrestling, which goes against everything I stand for, but to enjoy the pay-per-view and not come out, you know, sour about the whole thing. That's a great way to look at it. So Kyle, thank you so much. Alrighty. Let's get to voicemail number 3.
Hi, Matt. This is Izzy calling from London in the UK. First of all, I'd just like to say that I love your show. So thank you very much for everything that you put out there, because it's great. And sometimes I even listen to your show more than I actually watch WWE. So that's quite funny. Right. So my first question that I have for you is regarding Roman Reigns and versus The Rock. So I want to ask, is this actually going to happen, or is this just speculation? Is it a rumor? It's very probable that I missed something along the line, so I apologize if it is general knowledge. Yeah, I just don't really understand it, because I don't see how it could be anything else but Roman Reigns winning and The Rock just kind of appearing once and then going back to his normal career. So I just find it a bit odd. Anyway, my next question is, so The Fiend and Alexa Bliss. So I really, really like those characters. In fact, I mean, The Fiend is the kind of character that got me into wrestling. So I just really like them. I think they're cool. I always like the supernatural element. And yeah, where do you think that they're going? So they're kind of like a tag team now and stuff. Where do you think, like, what do you think is going to happen to them next? Because I think it's super cool, but I can't see where it's going. So yeah, if you could give me your advice on that. And finally, if you don't mind, I would like to give a shout out to my boyfriend Joe, as he does not like wrestling at all and has to suffer for watching wrestling with me from time to time. So I thought it'd be only fair to give him a shout out on your show. Okay, so thank you very much, and once again, keep up the good work, because I absolutely love it. Cool, thanks, bye.
Hey Izzy, thank you so much for calling in, much appreciated. I'm glad you like the show, and you know, I won't tell WWE that you listen to my show more than you watch them. Your secret is safe with me. You know, listen, I can also relate to significant others not being wrestling fans. I think many of our listeners can probably relate to their boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever, not being a wrestling fan. And if they're not wrestling fans, we all know the torture that we put them through when we have to watch wrestling and they roll their eyes or go, oh, this fake stuff, right? Like, it's just, so is every TV show or movie ever made, right? I mean, like, that's the ultimate comeback that I say. I'm just like, okay, well, everything that you've ever watched is fake. Most of it. So I just, you know, it's just a flack that you get as a wrestling fan. It comes with the territory. And so, look, I'm glad that you have a strong enough relationship where he just kind of puts up with it, right? Like, he just knows that you like wrestling. Typically, it's the other way around with usually the male counterpart liking wrestling and the girlfriend or wife having to deal with it. In my case, it's my wife who has to deal with it. But she takes her iPad and she just watches her own thing, Grey's Anatomy or whatever, while I watch wrestling. And she just has no interest in it unless The Rock's on. Like, literally, that's it. Like, if The Rock's not on the screen, she doesn't care. I mean, she wants the biggest, best stars only. but thank you again for calling in. And as far as your question about The Rock coming back to face Roman Reigns, what's the likelihood of that? percentage-wise? You're going to put me on the spot, gun in my head? I'd say 25% chance. And the reason I would say that is for the reason I just answered the previous caller is because there is and are no fans in attendance. And The Rock's character is so heavy on crowd interaction. And I think The Rock feeds off of that, as all performers, all wrestlers do. And it would not, I don't think, really motivate Dwayne Johnson to come back for that one match to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania if there are no fans in attendance. I know that Austin did it on 316 Day. It was the very first Raw of the pandemic, and it was just bizarre with no reaction. It was just weird. I didn't like it. Don't do it. And I think The Rock would not be interested if fans aren't there. And yeah, it's a match I would be fine with happening down the line. And I foresee Roman Reigns being a heel for quite some time. Even if he drops the belt to somebody else and it's not for the championship, this is a match I think that needs to happen. So just because I'm saying it's not likely at this year's WrestleMania at 37 doesn't mean it's never going to happen. I think it is likely that it happens. I don't think it's until we get a full arena back, or at least a majority full back for an arena capacity. So that is what my thoughts are. As far as Alexa Bliss and The Fiend, I'm with you. Look, they are the bright spot of Monday Night Raw. One of the brightest, consistent bright spots of Monday Night Raw. Alexa Bliss is exploding in her new role. I love what she's doing. What's the end game, you ask? Well, I would venture to say that WWE probably doesn't even know what the end game is themselves, as they have just thrown angles out there. They have very little long-term vision for whatever they do, and they just kind of go with the flow, and they just kind of make things up on the fly. So I don't think WWE even knows where they're going with this. I truly believe that in my heart, because they have shown it time after time after time of these angles that start and go nowhere. Best two examples, Retribution and Raw Underground. Retribution's on life support, and Raw Underground is dead and buried, and we already had a funeral for it. So if you were going to say, hey, Matt, what is your end game for Alexa Bliss? My end game for Alexa Bliss? She stays with The Fiend for quite some time. In fact, they actually recruit one or two more people. Maybe she ends up getting Nikki Cross somehow mesmerized into The Fiend's evil, right? She ends up getting The Fiend to hypnotize her as well, or possess her, whatever phraseology you want to use. So I think she actually brings in more people. Maybe a couple, one or two. I wouldn't overdo it, because Alexa Bliss is shining in her spotlight. So I think that's the end game is eventually, I mean, these two will break up eventually, but maybe Alexa Bliss still hangs on to that evil side of herself that kind of comes and goes, right? Like, she is somewhat schizo in that role, because I think she's found something here. I wouldn't let go of it. I wouldn't just all of a sudden snap her back like she's given a potion and all of a sudden she's back to the, coffee sipping Alexa Bliss with Nikki Cross on her talk show that I was not a big fan of. I don't think that happens. I think she somehow maintains some of these characteristics even after she breaks or splits with The Fiend. That's my ultimate vision for this. So, all right, Izzy, thanks again, and please call back anytime. All right, let's get to voicemail number 4.
Hey, Matt, it's Brad from Pennsylvania. Never, ever honestly thought I'd be calling you about this topic, but here I am calling you about Lana going through the table. Now, honestly, I don't really care how many times you put Lana through the table. I don't really care for Lana. I don't have the degree of hate for her that you might have. Like, I don't want to see her go away. I mean, obviously, she's pretty easy to look at, but that's besides the point. Wrestling-wise, like, she got a little better in the ring. She sucks on the mic, kind of. I don't really care for her. Her attitude definitely needs a repackaging, and I thought maybe this whole, fighting Asuka for the belt was the beginning of a repackage, but she's still just, coming out. There was no reason that she should have came down to the ring the other day and just come get put through the table for a seventh time. Like, Monday night, what, are we going to have the eighth time? Like, I know what WWE is doing now, though, and I figured this out because I fell victim of it on Monday night. I knew she was going through the table, obviously. Everyone knew it. So she walked down, and everybody said, well, Lana's going through the table. So the whole time, the only thing I was hoping was, when's Lana going to pull out this chair or pull out a weapon or say, nope, not this time, or can she have an accomplice jump out from behind the wall or something, or two accomplices? I mean, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, pretty badass chicks. Like, you know, you're not going to have Zelina Vega come out and help you beat them up or somebody like that. Like, just an example, you know. But, you know, you need a big chick to come, maybe, like, I don't know. I don't even know who it could be. Somebody big that could actually believably beat up Nia Jax or hit them with a weapon, something, anything to that degree. I just want to see it happen. That's what WWE is doing to me, anyway. I don't know if they're doing it to anyone else, but I just wanted to throw that out there, man. Crazy, crazy time with this whole election thing going on, and COVID still creeping around, ruining everyone's lives. The only thing we got is wrestling and sports, man. So take care, buddy. Have a good one.
Hey, Brad. Good to hear from you as always. I can't believe you're calling about Lana either. I never, ever thought I would hear that. Now here's what I'll say. I don't hate Lana. What I don't like is the character that she has been assigned and that comes across on camera. She cuts weird promos as if she forgets the English language at times. And look, I stutter all the time on this show, but at least I can get a message across that makes sense most of the time. Lana, I mean, just she says words differently. I don't know if she really has trouble with the English language or not. Her character, again, in ring, she's certainly improved. That's a plus. But her going through the table, I don't know what to make of this other than what I talked about on my Raw review show. That they are setting her up for something big at Survivor Series to get that kind of backdoor win. That's what I think is going to happen, is that she gets a backdoor win where everyone's forgotten about her. She goes through the table for the 9th or 10th time, whatever it is at that point. People think she's out of the match or incapacitated, and they forget that she's still active in the match and ends up stealing a victory and winning it for the Raw women's team. That's exactly what I think is going to happen. So they're really bringing her down to the bottom of the mountain to bring her back up. That's what I think. But all right. Well, thank you, Brad. And on to number 5.
Hey, Matt. It's Kyle from New York. So one of my friends told me this the other day, and I'm wondering what you think about it. I don't know if I like it or don't like it yet. But basically what he said was he thinks that when Roman Reigns has his full, like, Samoan faction that he's making right now, he thinks Seth Rollins is going to get another faction, like replacing Murphy and Austin Theory. And he thinks Seth's faction and Roman's faction are going to, like, unite into one team. Kind of like how the corporation, the Ministry of Darkness, became the corporate ministry, like how they came together. He thinks Roman's faction and Seth's faction is going to, like, come together like that. And he thinks it's going to happen in Survivor Series. I don't know how it's going to happen in Survivor Series when Roman's fighting Randy. How's Randy going to be involved in this? I don't understand that. And Seth, he could be on, like, the 5-on-5 elimination match. So, I don't know how it's going to happen when they're both in two separate matches. And I don't know how Seth's going to get a whole new faction this close to Survivor Series. What is it, like two weeks from now? How's he going to make a whole new faction in 2 weeks? I don't understand. I don't know how it's going to happen. I kind of don't know if I like the idea. I kind of do at the same time. Kind of in the middle of right now. I don't know how it's going to happen. I just don't know. And also he thinks that eventually Seth Rollins is going to, like, in the Mysterio feud and stuff, Murphy feud and stuff, he thinks Seth Rollins is eventually going to be like, just kidding everyone, me and Murphy were a team all along, we weren't actually broken up. And then Murphy's going to be like, Aaliyah, you get to choose either me and Seth and the Mysterios, and he thinks Aaliyah's going to join Murphy and Seth and turn heel and be with them and betray the Mysterio family. And it's going to be like a shocking twist in the story. So let me know what your thoughts are. That's it. Thanks.
So let me answer your last question first. I really hope that is not the case with Aaliyah and Murphy and everyone was in on it all along. No, I think we're all tired of this, and we're all ready for Rey Mysterio and Dominic and Seth Rollins to never be mentioned in the same sentence again. So I hope it's not, because there's been too many twists and turns, too many maybes, maybe yes, or, you know, yes and no, I'm heel, I'm really with Seth, but I, you know, there's too much of that. People are going to become very complacent if it turns again and it turns out they're all heels. It's going to be very, I think, very apathetic. People are just going to go, like they want a conclusion. They want this to end. If they add that layer to it, then Aaliyah is going to stick around for a while, and I don't think people want that. This has been going on for like 4 months, so I really hope that's not the case. As far as Seth Rollins creating a new group, yes. Ever since AOP left and they got injured and then they were just released, it's been a downhill slide for Seth Rollins, who started out really good. And then Murphy joined him, and then Murphy left, and now Murphy's was back, and then him and Rollins got in a scuffle, and now they're at each other's throats, but then he's now pretending to be on Seth's side, but is really, you would think, trying to set up Rollins to screw him out of his match at Survivor Series being on the SmackDown team. That's what I think. That's what we all believe. But Seth needs people. There's no question about it. Seth needs people badly. You can't be a messiah and not have any disciples. You can't. But as far as if they join forces with Roman, eventually Rollins and Reigns are going to have some interaction on SmackDown. They're waiting on that because, number one, they're both heels. You could have Rollins join Roman, but I don't think having Rollins right now join Roman would be a good thing. Roman's got such a really good thing going, great thing going with the Usos, that Rollins would muddy the situation. Rollins needs to go on his own path, do his own thing, pretend these two don't exist for a while on the same brand. They're doing their own thing separately. Plus, they're both heels. And I don't think joining forces would actually be better for them, because they're, especially Roman Reigns, who's doing so damn good on his own, and now with Jey Uso being essentially his slave, it's just working so well. There's no need to add more. Adding more would actually subtract from the progress that Roman Reigns has made. So if it's going to happen, it's going to be way down the line, way down the line. So, but good question, and thanks for the call. Okay, on to the next one.
Hi, this is Tim calling from Arlington. It's actually Friday night right now. I'm watching SmackDown live, and I just paused it just to call in. By the time you get this voice message, you will already know what happened, so live, but I just wanted to say, with these qualifying matches, we all know probably Seth Rollins is going to beat Otis. I'm in the middle of watching live right now the qualifying match with Rey Mysterio and King Corbin, and I am just praying to anyone that will listen to me right now that King Corbin wins this, because I do not want to see Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio have to be on the same team together during Survivor Series, and I don't want this to go on. So anyway, I just wanted to call to put that in, and we'll know what happens here in the next 10 or 15 minutes, but just wanted to say that. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, I think you said Jim. I'm pretty sure Jim. The first few words of your voicemail were a little bit muffled, but yes, obviously we already know what happened. And looks like you got your wish. Rey Mysterio and Seth Rollins will not be on the same team in Survivor Series, where we don't have to worry about the storyline, the sub-storyline of, oh my God, they have to be on the same team. How are they going to get along? It's such a tired, tired story going into every Survivor Series now, where it's Raw versus SmackDown, that, oh my God, foes have to be allies, and how are they going to coexist? And oh my God, there's still tension. Look what's happening on Raw. It's a disaster. You got Riddle, Matt Riddle. Yes, we still say Matt Riddle on this show, who is making nicknames for people like we're in, you know, sixth grade. It's embarrassing what's happening over there. But on SmackDown, looks like you got your wish. You know, Seth Rollins advances, King Corbin advances, and that's the way it should be. So, I guess 2020 is, hindsight's 2020, but you got your wish, and we don't have to deal with it, at least in the immediate future. So, okay, on to our next voicemail.
Hey, this is the Waz. Hey, I just had a quick thought I wanted to throw at you, see what you thought about it. I think the whole thing with Seth Rollins and Murphy is going to turn into Murphy turning on him and being the Messiah's Judas. And I think that's Murphy's plan in this whole thing. I think that would be fantastic, even to the point where he actually calls it out and says, yes, you are the Messiah. I am your disciple, but I am also your Judas, and just takes him out. Maybe for a while, and maybe that's because Seth needs to be out because the baby's going to be born, something to that effect for a short time, and then maybe Seth will come back with a different little gimmick of his own. But I just wanted to throw that out at you. I think that's where they're going with it. I could be completely wrong, yeah. And thanks. I'm back.
Hey, Waz, you know, so yes, I already addressed this a little bit in a previous voicemail, but good point about the baby, right? Becky Lynch is due soon in a couple of months, so that would mean that Seth would assumingly take a month, 2 months off and be back in time for WrestleMania season, you would assume? So with that being said, you're right. I mean, I wouldn't put a whole bunch of stock into Seth Rollins right now of building a new faction, but it could be that Murphy takes him out and the Mysterios all, you know, band together to take him out in one final blow, and we don't see them. We don't see Seth for however many months he's going to be out with the baby. If it's months at all, it could be weeks. I mean, who knows how much time he's actually going to take? But that's a good point. That's a good point. Certainly, it's going to the baby is going to affect his time off and really his on screen time. But yeah, the whole Judas analogy is certainly one that is accurate. And I think we all see coming as well. I really hope it's not a double turn where they make it look like he's going to turn on Seth, but really he's actually going to stay with Seth, as I talked about earlier. But certainly, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But the bottom line is we are all done with this, and we're ready for Rollins to work with somebody different. And Murphy and him could have badass matches, and that's a fact. So it's time for them to move on. I don't see a need for a double turn, because who's he going to work with again, right? Like, if Murphy's still by his side, it doesn't make any sense. So, okay, great point, and let's move on to the next.
Hey, Matt, it's Bevan from Australia again. Hope you're well. Just finished watching Raw, and I think it's more of a rant, actually. The main event with Randy Orton, The Miz and Morrison versus The New Day and Drew McIntyre. Doesn't really mean much at the moment. But what really annoys me is whenever Drew McIntyre goes for his claymore kick, he has to count down 3, 2, 1 before he hits his knockout blow, so to speak. I mean, I know WWE's is scripted and all that, and that's fine. But in real life, I don't advocate violence at all, but like, if I'm fighting for safety or whatever, and I've got my opponent where I need him to be, I'm not going to give him a 4-second warning that I'm going to come and punch him on the noggin. I just find that, I don't know. And then on top of that, WWE were pumping in the sound of 3, 2, 1 as if the crowd were doing it. Oh, sorry. It just ruined it for me. I love the RKO comes out of nowhere. There's no warning. That's what a knockout blow should be. There shouldn't be a warning about it, or hey, I'm going to hit you in 3, 2, 1. So it just ruined it for me. And maybe I'll stop there. I'm getting a bit wound up, but love to hear your thoughts on that. Cheers, mate. Bye.
See, now you're going to get me fired up. I swear. Like, yeah, this kind of stuff is. It's an element of pro wrestling that you just kind of have to deal with, right? I mean, this is not just Drew McIntyre being blatantly exposed as, you know, this is not real. Like, nobody would do this in a real fight, right? Like, we know that. But we also want to believe what we're seeing, and something like that takes us out of the moment. And it sucks that it's Drew McIntyre, who's so credible and believable as a champion, that does something like this. I mean, but he's not the only one. You look around, Randy Orton has been doing his RKO pounds on the mat for years. And you would think that if his opponents hear that, well, an RKO is coming, I better just roll out of the ring. Right? Or more recently, Sheamus, who I've noticed screaming every time that he's about to hit his finisher, he pounds his chest and says, brogue, brogue, Brogue. Well, is this the best offense that you can put together to let your opponent know, hey, Brogue kick's coming? You might as well yell it. Sheamus is just as guilty as Drew McIntyre, who's just as guilty as Randy Orton, among others in the past. You know, it's the showmanship of pro wrestling, of Vince McMahon's version of pro wrestling, that we either have to just look past or get pissed off about it and take yourself out of the moment. And certainly, I totally agree. The countdown. If I'm in a match, my hearing doesn't go. In fact, your hearing is actually one of the last things to go. So even if I'm in a fight and I can hear things, if I hear Brogue, or if I hear a countdown of 3, 2, 1, or if I hear pounding, if I'm facing Randy Orton, I'm just going to roll my ass out of the ring. But it's WWE, it's professional wrestling, Vince McMahon's version, that none of that logic doesn't even cross his mind. So yeah, you're getting me fired up. I could go on a rant about this as well, and it would not be PG. So I will stop there, but thanks, brother, for that and getting me all fired up. And feel free to call back. Thank you, and on to the next one.
Hi, it's Kyle from Baltimore, Maryland. I wanted to talk about what happened on SmackDown with Sasha and Carmella, mainly Carmella here, where she, I think there's something in Carmella as a heel. I liked her as a heel, as the champion heel in 2017. I think that was a cool run for her, and I think she's really good in the ring, I think. And this is a good first opponent for Sasha. I'm sure Sasha's definitely going to retain, but I think it's a good first step for Sasha to fill Bianca Belair probably next year. But what do you think about that? Thanks for calling. Bye.
So here's what I feel about Carmella, and I mentioned this on my Weekend Review show this past Sunday, and I'm not going to backtrack on it. I'm going to stand by my guns. I'm not against Carmella like a lot of people are. I think she had a really good run, better run with the SmackDown Women's Championship than most people realize when she was the champion. It was like a year, 2 years ago. But I enjoyed her as champion. She drew good heat. She's decent promo. She's obnoxious. And her coming out and attacking Sasha Banks obviously establishes her as the next opponent for Sasha Banks and challenging for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Do I think she can win it? Probably not. I think Sasha had a long journey to get to facing Bayley, which to me was all the build to that was really a flop. I mean, it wasn't bad, but for all the build, it should have been better, especially the way they presented it. But 2 out of the 3 matches on free TV was just a terrible idea. But nonetheless, I think it's a good opponent because, again, I think people underestimate Carmella. I really believe that. Is she my favorite? No. Do I feel like she's a little bit of a repackaged Lana or Liv Morgan when they re-debuted and all of a sudden, oh, they're going to do all these, they're going to be different and they're the same, right? Like there's no real long-term plan. It's possible, but it's good to see Carmella back. And I think that they could have decent matches together. I mean, I haven't seen Carmella have a one-on-one match in a long time. So it's going to be interesting to see if she wasn't just putting on new makeup and getting her hair done differently, that she was actually in the ring working on her moveset and her timing and everything else that goes with that. So I also heard you talk about Bianca Belair. Yeah, certainly. Certainly. She is in line for a championship match at some point. I mean, but the problem is she's right now billed as a babyface. Babyface versus babyface can happen. With Sasha Banks as a default babyface, and I say default because she never really changed. She just got outsmarted by her heel friend, her heel ex-best friend. But her versus Bianca Belair versus Sasha, certainly, I think in the next 12 months could be a match. It may not be against Sasha, but the point is Bianca Belair could be SmackDown Women's Champion in the next 12 months. Absolutely. Alrighty, let's get to what I believe is the final voicemail for the show.
Hey, how you doing? This is Dave from Nashville, but you can call me the casual wrestling fan. I started watching wrestling in the Attitude Era through the Ruthless Aggression Era into the PG Era, and that's when I stopped watching wrestling. But because of the COVID, you know, I kind of got back on that horse. I got WWE Network, and I have been watching a few, you know, older matches, you know, basically for nostalgia to remind me back to the old days. But also, started to keep up with today's wrestling. And I can't say I'm starting to enjoy it a lot. I'm going to start off by saying I love the Hurt Business. Oh, God, I think that's a dominant group. MVP is doing a great job. And I think if he keeps it up, everything will go great. You know, I love Bobby Lashley. Hopefully he can get a WWE title push coming up soon. And I can see Shelton Benjamin and I forgot his partner name, David Alexander. I can see both of them doing great in the tag team division. And I think that looks great. A couple points. I watch only Raw currently. I really don't watch SmackDown. I listen to your SmackDown podcast, people with SmackDown. So, you know, how you said that people watch both? I don't. And some of my friends don't. Number two, really quickly, I like Dawkins. I like how he says fam all the time. That's just like bro. It's a term of endearment. And I don't really have a problem with that. But a few questions. Number one, when did announcement tables stop breaking on Impact all the time? Like, I've seen a few wrestlers get slammed on the table and they're not breaking. That sucks. Also, I noticed y'all said y'all don't like roll-up pins. I love roll-up pins. It's a good way to get another wrestler over without diminishing another character. And, you know, that's just my point on that. I'm going to let you go. I'm pretty sure I'm getting close to my 3 minutes. I look forward to calling back in again, and you guys have a great day. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. A lot of stuff there. I call you as you want to be called, the casual wrestling fan. So very, very good to hear from you. I believe you're a first-time caller, so thanks. And again, feel free. I'm glad you disagree with me on stuff. It's always fun. It's always a good thing. Number one, you disagree on the roll-up pins because you feel like it is a way to get a victory for an opponent without diminishing the person who is actually taking the fall. And I agree. That is what the purpose of the pin is, of the roll-up pin is. And I have no problem with it being used from time to time. My problem with it is the overuse of it, because when you overuse it, it tells the audience that the victories that are occurring are not, they're victories, but they almost are by luck. And yes, I understand why roll-up pins happen, but if they, again, they happen too often, that's not a good thing. And too much of anything is not a good thing. Too many belts, too many, you know, same finishes, all that kind of thing. But I also would disagree with the use of them so frequently, also because to me, it's a crutch for booking. What I mean by that is, it is exactly what you said. It's a way to have somebody get a victory that the other person is still protected, which tells me they don't have faith in the person that's getting the victory, so they have an out if the push that they're giving that person doesn't work out, that, well, their victories weren't really, you know, weren't really real victories, right? Like, they got roll-ups, they got lucky. It's, to me, lazy booking is what that is. Again, once in a while, fine. I have no problem with not ever using it. It's just the frequency tells me that they don't have the confidence in the person they're giving the victory to when they use that so damn much. I mean, look on Raw. It's like twice a show. So that's my issue with that. So the term fam means a term of endearment. Cool. Fine. It's the same way with Oos. I guess bro, fam, whatever. Fine. I mean, I throw my hands up with it. It's not my... I guess he says it so much. It's like Matt Riddle saying bro so much. It just takes away from what you're saying because I hear it so much. It's as if when someone talks or says the word like so many times when they're talking, that's all you hear, and you actually start counting how many times they say the word like. Like, how many times am I going to like say like, you see what I'm saying? All of a sudden that word takes over everything that you're saying and people become distracted. That's my problem with Oos and with fam. It's too much. But the Hurt Business, agreed. They have, I think, overachieved what they were originally booked to become. They, and I love MVP, who is really the success story of the year. I mean, when he came back, I didn't expect a whole lot, and he can still go pretty good in the ring. But more importantly, he's the best mouthpiece that WWE has right now. He is so good. And I agree that Bobby Lashley should have had a world title run too. I was, you know, rooting for that a couple of months ago when he faced Drew McIntyre for the championship. I said, this is their opportunity, and they did nothing with it. Nothing. So I was very disappointed about that. Bobby Lashley does need a world title run at some point in his career. before the lights go out and he is no longer in his prime. I totally agree. So thank you so much, casual wrestling fan, as you would like to be called. Call back. And everyone, please, if you heard voicemails on here and you'd like to get your two cents in, this is the platform to do it. I do separate shows now for these voicemails, and I'll just title it the WWE Podcast Mailbag. And this is episode 2, so it'll be airing on Thursday, November 12th. So, alrighty, well, thank you so much to everyone who called in. Everyone who wants to call in, you know the number, or email us at realwwpodcast@gmail.com. And I will catch you guys next time.